Yeah, 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 yeah. Stop looking, listen. Yeah, expand and dilate. It's the D-I-L-A-T-E-D-P-E-O-P-L-E-S. Yes, so fresh, I may have already been where you're going.
Then again, I may be headed for where you are now.
The bright lights keep glowing,
so we can spread a little bit of information around.
I saw, there's a thing on the internet that I will click on every single time, and it's a spoof of the Family Matters theme song where they just throw on other things. That's the best theme song in sitcom history. Yeah.
Refresh my memory.
It's a rare condition this day and age to read any good things on the newspaper page.
There you go.
Nothing tradition of the grand design. Yeah. It's even harder
people
to find.
Say it's harder to find. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but there must be some magic clue inside these gentle walls. Because all I see is a tower of dream. Real love bursting over every seam.
Over every seam, yeah.
Yeah.
And days go by, right?
Days go by.
It's the bigger love in the family.
The family. That's wonderful. I love it. We're coming out with the hot topics tonight, you know?
I did see there is
the important stuff.
Yeah.
There is a guy that has a Twitter account that he like breaks down sports things in TV shows and movies. And he broke down one of the Family Matters episodes where Urkel teamed up with Grandmama to play 2-on-2.
Wait, but it was Urkel. That's right.
It was Urkel.
They didn't do the Stefan thing.
No, it was Urkel with all sorts of handles.
And you know, we knew this even back then as like kids watching this show. It's like, all right, this is dumb because we know Jalil White really likes to play basketball and is pretty good at basketball. So he absolutely talked to the producers and was like, hey, let's do a basketball episode so I can show everybody how good I am at basketball and get in on these like Rock and Jock things.
Is that where did Grandmama originate from? Was it the commercial or?
Yeah, it had to be the Reebok. Yeah,
the Reebok commercial first. Yeah. Cause then, I mean, he got his money worth out of that. He must have been guest appearance in multiple things as Grandmama.
Yeah, right? God, that's one of the best ad campaigns ever. Like that era, too, because you had like Lil Penny during that time, too. God, so good.
Dan and Dave.
Kyrie just tries to steal that flow.
Man. And you brought up on Twitter this week, the Champs Outlet store came up.
Oh, what?
I don't remember why that came up, but... Like, God, those were the fucking days, man. And by the way, somebody said it was on Coburg. Like, it was on West.
Which?
Yeah. Yes?
I think there may have been two.
Okay. Because the one
to
I
be fair,
was West 11th yes. in like the shopping center next to
TC. Yes. There were either two or it moved. Because, okay. Yes, I remember it at both locations.
And the reason I bring that up is because that is where I got my Larry Johnson jersey that I used to have when I was a kid. You know, had the, you know, a couple of the lines on the bottom right just like weren't actually filled in. And so, you know, fucking $5 at Champs. I have no idea how much they were. Because back then we have no concept of money when we're that age, but like it's obviously it's the outlet store and they're hawking like small error jerseys, and man, they were good. And those Hornets jerseys back then, it's like, man, if I could go back in time and just buy every single one they had, what I wouldn't give to still have those now. Like, even though they're kid-sized, it's like, I'll give them to my kid. I'll give them to your kid. I don't care.
I remember the outlets ones having, like you said, it was like the small flaw in it, or they had like 10 5XL sizes that they literally just couldn't sell.
Yeah. Well, the 5XL thing is what, like, Ross and them are trying to do now.
Oh, yeah.
If you got
a giant dome, you could go find some hats there.
Yeah.
Or they got damn near, like, really you get like a... You get like an 8.5 size head out there.
That Tice Passato dome.
I mean, it's just
easy.
I haven't. By the way, I haven't even thought of his name in over 10 years. So I have no idea how he's doing, but it sounds like I shouldn't talk about him. All right. So, I'm like, before we started, I had some like just mind blowing news hit. And I want to run it by you guys to see if you knew anything about this, because I found out about it. I'm like watching a YouTube video and it comes up. And so Rosario Dawson is dating Cory Booker. When did that happen? That's a thing.
Fine. Well, I thought it popped up in the timeline, maybe in like the summertime at least.
She moved in with him. Like, she moved from LA to fucking Newark. What? I'm sorry. That's
Newark, Hollywood of the East Coast.
I can't wrap my head around Rosario.
That's often what I've heard.
Yeah, that's their town slogan, isn't it?
He must be the coolest dude ever. That's all I'm saying.
I feel like he's not.
I feel like he's not too. That's why I'm seeing this, and I'm just like, what the fuck?
Well, I think I saw enough debates to say he's not the coolest.
I'm saying.
Person.
To be fair. What is Rosario Dawson not really churning out like blockbusters anymore?
Bro, she's in Mandalorian. Get out of here. She's about to be in the spin-off series for the Mandalorian. She's going to have her own Star Wars series on Disney Plus.
She's hosting some like
Did you watch Clerks 2, bro? Clerks 2. Come on, bro.
That was like 20 years ago, man.
No, I'm just fucking with you. They're making a Clerks 3. Did you hear that?
Why?
I don't know, because Kevin Smith is really bored, and you know, there's nobody to hold Kevin Smith in check at this point.
He lost all that weight, so now he can't just go smash food to kill his time.
Shouldn't he be running like marathons or something?
All he does is smoke weed. He's very open about this. He just sits around, smokes weed, and writes movies now. Pretty much it.
It's a decent life.
Nice job if you can get it, right? Yeah.
Well, especially when all you have to do is churn out the same shit you've done for 20 years.
For real, though. Like, rehash everything you've... Yeah.
There'll probably be another Jay and Silent Bob in the works now after this.
Well, they already just did one, which I have not watched yet. Did you watch it?
Nope. Jay and Silenter Bob? Is that what it was called? No? Okay.
More silent. Jay and more silent Bob. All right, can we...
Jay and this time he's silent, Bob. Jay, and this time there will be silence. Bob.
I think it's a combo movie of Jay and What About Bob?
Ooh.
Very nice. He wishes he could get Bill Murray in his movie. Who was the star of that? The other guy,
Richard Dreyfuss.
Richard Dreyfuss, thank you. Yeah, I was trying to think.
He had an opus once, if I remember.
Is he still alive, Richard Dreyfuss?
Yes.
Anybody know that?
He's prior. Probably is.
Right. King's
isn't one of my. If you ever want like a good gambling movie, he's in a movie called Let It Ride, where he just bets on a horse and then lets it ride like 8 times. Pretty entertaining.
How does it go for him? No spoiler.
You'll have to see.
Great. I'm definitely gonna watch that movie for sure.
You should.
Yeah. Hey, can we talk about something first before we get into, like, you know, inauguration and sports or whatever? I've been meaning to ask you about the vaccine thing, King, if you don't mind talking about that. Just because, you know, you've had both shots now, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So you know, whatever job you have, you were afforded the opportunity to have both of those. I honestly, you're the only person I know who has had them. So I'm curious, and I bet people are curious how that went.
I mean, I grew a horn out of my neck,
right. And
I'm now autistic.
Also out of the side of your dick, too. That's a really...
No, so I got the Pfizer. So there's the Moderna, and there's the Pfizer. And I got the Pfizer. The first one... Nothing. I mean, nothing.
Right.
Second one, arm was sore. That's, I mean, who cares?
Yeah, that's like flu shot.
But I was just really tired about a day later. Like, really tired.
Okay.
But amongst the people I work with, they had like, I'm just being honest, like real symptoms, like fever, chills, brain fog that lasted in like 36 hours later, you know, all that stuff. And then I also know someone who got the Moderna shot. Granted, this is a sample of one, so
big sample size.
You know, had nothing on the first, but the or on the second, but on the first was like deathly ill, like wrapped in heating pads.
I think I know who you're talking about.
And just so it's still worth it, you know. I didn't have any of the symptoms, but you know, if it's afforded to you and you want to take it, take it. I'm not going to be the person here.
Make that decision for you, yeah.
Right, I'm not here to preach against for vaccines or against. I get them. I'm not scared of them. I've never had a bad reaction.
Right.
But, you know, like a lot of, almost all of my coworkers actually did have a very noticeable reaction to the second one.
Almost all?
Almost all of them, yeah.
Huh. That's good food for thought, man, because, you know, we have, you know, Ski and I, I'm sure, like, whatever it is, they have, like, tiers or whatever. We're not on a tier. But, you know, we're tierless. But, you know, we do have, you know, in a matter of, I mean, we're, in terms of school, we're talking about next school year. You know, I know Springfield's bringing kids back to class, like, in a couple weeks, which I'm glad my kid goes to school in Eugene.
Are they really?
They
I
are.
Didn't see that.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, you know, we're talking about next year going back to school. And before they do that, the idea is we're going to give our kids these vaccines and stuff like that. And it's, you know, it's just definitely, I would like to see a bigger sample size, and I'd like to ask
absolutely
people what yeah. happened and, you know, how that's been going. So they all, you know, I assume that nobody who got the vaccine died from the vaccine.
No.
So they all
I didn't notice any empty cubicles today.
Boy, imagine what happens if that happens. Holy shit.
I did see that they were talking about
like the validation, like the Jenny McCarthy crowd would feel on that day. Jesus.
Well, I did see the NBA talking about how they want to like bump the NBA players up to get the vaccine to like educate people.
To educate the public.
Hey, yeah. Adam,
if we could send this podcast to Dr. Fauci, hey, we'll educate people too. Pop me and Braga that vax and
right.
All day.
Help out. We'll reach 15 people. I mean, that's something, right?
17 now.
17. Yeah, we'll reach 17. There you go.
Numbers are rising, buddy. Yep. Just like these COVID numbers.
I just to go back. I had no idea Springfield was bringing them back.
Yeah,
I know Springfield was stubborn and brought kids back in September, and within like 2 weeks, they're like, yeah, that's not working.
Like, yeah, a third of this school now has COVID. So, yeah, never mind. And yeah, I just had that come across my timeline. I didn't actually read the story, but.
Because I got an email from our kid's school yesterday saying.
You're in Bethel, right?
Yeah, that February 15th, I think, is when they have to have a plan.
Mm-hmm.
Putting together a plan.
Yeah.
So my thinking is they're going to implement a plan in the middle of February.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not going back until maybe middle of closer to the middle of March than beginning of March.
Well, they'll have,
gonna have to,
they'll have a choice to go back.
Right. And it's going to be a hybrid and a choice. Then at that point,
what's the point?
I think we're just keeping them home.
What's the point? Yeah.
Cause we can, you know, and I totally understand parents that parent or parents that cannot, because of jobs, and it's a strain. Like, there's no denying that it's been a strain on parents and grandparents and friends and family for a lot of people. So I think it's good, I guess, that the option is going to be there.
Mm.
I just don't think we will be in my household sending them back.
Yeah, same here.
And my thing is, it's not even that I think my kids are going to go to school, get COVID, and die. That's not even really my point, is that our kids have hit, like, it, in the middle of October, they hit their stride with the online stuff. Mm-hmm. They're comfortable now. So setting them back for 2+ months, I don't know.
Yeah.
To me, it just doesn't seem worthwhile. But that's just me.
The thing that would be a problem for me is if they do open it up to kids going back, it's going to be my daughter's teacher who is teaching that class. And so who's going to be her teacher? It's not going to be that one, because that one's going to have to teach the kids who are going to class. And so now she's going to be switching teachers with like 2 months left, and that would be a bummer. So, you know, I'm hoping, so 4J, I know they were given the okay to do like a vaccine plan, whatever that means. Maybe we'll find out. I'm not sure. So I don't know. We'll see what happens with the Eugene kids. I don't know. I'm kind of in the same boat as you are. It's like, there's no point at this point. I mean, we're coming into February now. We're in such a groove. Like my mom and, you know, my dad are stoked to get my kid more. So it's like, I'm in a really good position. I know a lot of people aren't, but.
Right.
But again, like we've all, even the people who aren't in a good position, we've all been doing this for a bunch of months now. So, you know, what's a couple more months in my opinion?
That's my thing. And if you have a kid that is struggling with it, I totally understand wanting to send them back.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if they're not, you know,
this is one of those deals. Like our kids are going to look back when they're older and be like, man, fucking third grade sucked. Like that was bullshit. But you know what? We went back in fourth grade and everything was fine after that.
And see, our kids are young enough to where I just don't think going forward they're really going to be like, man, that first grade experience was bad. I honestly do feel bad for high schoolers because they've missed
stuff.
Because the last couple of years of high school was pretty fun.
They're big.
I do feel bad for those kids. But like, you know, elementary school kids –
they'll be fine.
I'm just not crying for
it. I had different friends in elementary, middle, and high school.
Absolutely.
So again, it's everything changes from year to year. But yeah, all right.
And I'd probably, you know, before we move on, you know, I might be more vocal on send them back. You know, if I had a kid who played, who cares, was a swimmer, high school swimmer, you know what I mean? And they're missing out, there's no sports. Okay, but in my situation.
Well, the OSA is letting them do sports anyways.
Exactly. So, okay. Then,
there are no sports. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, the only thing they'd be going back for is like the prom or something, but they're not going to have a prom.
Cool. God. Well, you know, a lot of disease passing prom anyway.
Yeah, Roseburg might have a prom. I can't speak.
Roseburg is definitely having a prom. Yeah.
All right. You think people are missing proms in Texas?
Before we move on, 100%. I just found out this last weekend that Texas high school football is still happening.
Still happening.
And I'm like, it's the middle of January. I was like, oh, so they had a pause, you know, that's why it's late. And I looked, I'm like, nope. These high school teams are playing like 27 game seasons, and now it's the playoffs, and they're playing at Cowboys Stadium.
They're making up for last season, man. They got those games to get in.
What a world.
They all got quotas in Texas. You didn't know how high school football works?
Shit. I mean, you know, I Friday Night Lights, you know, I've seen it. You know, Moxon at West Canaan. I know the drill, but.
And other terms from that show.
I don't want your life.
I don't want your life.
Growing up and playing football at West Canaan may have been the opportunity of your lifetime.
Tweeter.
But I don't want your life.
Your life.
What a classic.
What a classic is right.
Puke and Rally.
Mm-hmm. Remember when damn it, I can't remember his name now. Main announcer for the ESPN college games. I remember the Oregon game where like LaMichael threw up on the sideline and then went back into play, and he literally said boot and rally after the sideline reporter was talking about it.
was like,
was that a musk? Was that a musk? Musburger drop?
Well, it was not Musburger. It was
not Musburger. Oh,
damn it! He like hosted game day.
Fowler?
Yes, Fowler. Thank you. It was Fowler. It was definitely a Fowler Herb Street joint. All right, so vaccine's over.
Yep.
I'm curious about takeaways from the inauguration. I have a.
I didn't really watch it. I was at work.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I had my laptop over here with C-SPAN, just because C-SPAN's YouTube. They just. I don't know. When was the last time you watched C-SPAN? Or have you ever?
Yeah. No. My mental image of C-SPAN is when they just show like the Senate or the House, and it's just a live feed, and it's someone just going, "Yay."
Yep.
Nay.
Oh no! It's all like reading, like very precisely worded sentences that don't make any sense in our century. Where they have to go through it, and then, oh my God, the most boring shit ever. But C-SPAN is known for not having people talking. So it's just video of whatever is happening. Like the only thing you'll hear is like the cameraman breathing heavy, which is totally a thing. Cameraman breathing heavy, like you'll hear like the press person being like, okay, everybody over here. That's all you'll hear. Or like maybe you'll slightly hear like, so Biden's walking in his quote unquote parade with nobody there, you know, and he'll like say, oh, hey, how's it going? So you'll hear that or something like that, which by the way, so I get the idea that they have to do all of these things. Well, they don't have to, but that they want to do all of these things because they're tradition. And it's like, okay, we're going to do this. We're not going to like shortchange Biden by not having him, you know, walk to the White House, have people let him in, do all of these things that they do. But it's like, holy shit, man. Like, he did not have to do any of that. Like, hop in. Like, who are you waving to walking down the street with your family? Like, just get in a car and drive to the White House. Like, you're doing it for the photo op. You're wearing a mask. Like, what are we doing here? Like, just go. Like, you could have saved like 3 hours. But you know, I get it. You know,
it's an AL East baseball game.
Dumbass traditions. But whatever. What's that about baseball?
It's like an AL East game. You know,
you have to play it just because
your fill time, get that 5 hours in. Pretty much what they're doing. I would say the C-SPAN coverage is almost like how the 4K coverage is. Mm-hmm. Like when they go to commercial, some of those channels cut away to commercial. They just like pan out to like the farthest away camera they got, and it just sits there with, you know, no commentary or anything.
All of the streams for Blazer games that I've been watching recently have been that. They don't have commercials. They just go, like you hear the DJ. They still have a DJ in the arenas playing music. Like to nobody. Like literally they're still playing the highlight videos in between, like during timeouts and stuff like that. I remember like somebody tweeted about LaMarcus watching, like when the Blazers lost to the Spurs, like LaMarcus watching Brandon Roy highlights or something during a timeout. Like who are they showing those for? Insane. Right, I got a couple more takeaways if you guys don't.
No, go ahead.
Okay. So big feelings about the first time I heard Senate Minority Leader McConnell. Like that felt good. Because that guy's a prick, and I'm not afraid to say that. I think a lot of people would kind of echo my sentiments on that. He's very much since, you know, I would say like 2 weeks ago, he's very much on this trying to act like he wasn't a prick. MO.
Called politics.
Yeah. So he's like, all of a sudden he's coming out against Trump. All of a sudden he's, you know, saying everything's going to be smooth in the transition. Oh, I welcome our president. Well, literally part of being the outgoing Senate Majority Leader is he had to like present Biden with a like a gift or something like that and welcome him as president as the Senate Majority Leader. So he was actually part of the procession, and he was, you know, sitting there and everything. He has to be there. It's like he can't not be there if he's going to remain a senator. So I don't know. You know, that felt good. The Bernie memes are probably going to be the biggest takeaway from the whole thing, I think, right?
They're pretty good.
Yeah. So I actually heard a thing on the radio today about the, like, the second grade teacher who made him those gloves that he was wearing or something. She literally just, like, she made him for a bunch of, like, you know, other teachers and stuff. And she's like, you know what? I really like Bernie, so I'm going to make him some too. And she sent them to him. And sure enough, he ends up fucking wearing them and sits with his legs crossed with a packet that apparently contained his ticket to the event in it. Oh, classic.
I think it was you, King, that either tweeted or put it up, the Forrest Gump one where they got, was that you, Braga? Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Have him sitting on the bench next to him. Yeah.
So good.
That one was good.
So good. There were, I'm gonna pull up some of my favorites. Because so
once again, asking for your financial support. Asking for your financial support.
1%.
Could you even hear that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
The
that's where we need our soundboard.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, feel free. What is it, like $800 or whatever? Figure it out, man. Let's go.
So Kurt said there was like a cheaper one we could get, but
okay, Kurt. Again, if you want to be the sponsor on the podcast, get us that soundboard and we'll say your name every single episode. Big thanks to Kurt for the soundboard. Every single time we play a sound on the soundboard, I'll say thanks to Kurt for the soundboard. Shit, I don't care.
Celebrating Kurt for his non-existent soundboard.
He didn't really come through that first time.
That's all right.
The Zoolander one, where it's like the center, the miniature center, whatever, the center for ants. It's like a little picture of Bernie sitting on the chair. That's good. The the Forrest Gump one is fucking quality, man.
Was it you, King, saying that movie's trash now?
No, I was saying, I would say, if you would ask me yesterday at noon, is Forrest Gump a classic? I'd say yes. But before last night, I hadn't seen the movie in 20 years. It's just not really a rewatchable movie.
Yeah, that's fair. Do they really show it much on anything anymore? Seems like something they used to show more than they do now.
If it's on with commercial, the movie's like 4 hours long, so probably not much anymore.
Yeah. Let's see, there was a Rick and Morty one where he's Rick sitting in the spaceship. That's good. Jay and Silent Bob, he's like sitting on the chair next to Jay and Silent Bob outside the Quickie Mart?
I feel like that's a Simpson thing.
Quick Mart.
What's it called?
Fast Mart?
Fast Mart? I don't think that's it.
Something like that.
Quickie Mart is definitely the Simpsons.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's a bunch of them. They're good. You'll find them on your nearest Twitter device. A-Rod was there. Because
the only good thing about A-Rod being there was that means Jose Canseco had to get on Twitter and say, why the fuck is A-Rod there? He's a piece of shit with a small dick.
Which is always great.
Paraphrasing it, but that's about it.
And then literally post a picture. Just the whole post is just a picture of his arm.
Yeah.
Exactly. Just a picture of his arm.
I will say the thing about the J-Lo like performance that I didn't understand is when she's singing like God, what song was she singing?
God Bless America. Was that it?
God Bless America. You know, God graces tis on thee or whatever. And then she's like, hey, let's get loud.
Mm-hmm.
And the foam. I'm like, what? Why did you just break into Let's Get Loud? Let's Get Loud. That made no – did you guys catch that?
I have not seen the video.
Go back and watch. In the middle of her performance, she breaks out of the patriotic song and just goes,
yeah.
Let's Get Loud. It made no sense.
Lady Gaga
maintain self-control. J-Lo does not have that ability. Like, the fly girl's going to come out in any situation she's in, man. It is what it is.
Jenny from the fucking block.
Jenny from the
block. She got loud.
Yep. My daughter, while we were watching this, said, "Hey, Dad, Ariana Grande's on."
Like, damn, Ariana Grande, look, got older and got a huge ass. Jesus.
And I was like, no, that's actually, like, you know, I mean, looking really good, but that's old Ariana Grande. Sorry, kid.
I am amazed at the pivot Ariana Grande music has made in the last year.
From what to what?
Well, it's went from very poppy to extremely horny.
Well, to be fair, again, the poppy songs are really horny songs as well.
I mean, it's like her. No, I mean, hers are pretty explicit now. They're pretty explicit.
Not using like,
it's like break up. Now, it's like break up with your boyfriend, and you can hit it in the morning. And yeah, it's she's made the pivot.
Well, good for her. You know,
right, girl power.
Yeah, girl power. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Tell you what you want, what she's telling you what she wants, what she really, really wants.
Telling you. She wants to.
You can hit it in the morning.
Really, 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 really want to zig a zig. Yeah. I was hoping one of you guys would start singing the rest of it. We're not going to do that. Okay. I tell you what, let's, before we get into like sports, let's do our list. How does that sound? You want to do that now? Let's just do that now. Unless you guys have anything else on the inauguration, because it sounds like you guys don't have anything about the inauguration and don't really want to talk about it. So that's fine. We can list it is. King, what's our list?
In celebration? I don't know if that's the right way to put it. Don Sutton died. You know, he called Braves games.
In honor of Don Sutton.
And I found out yesterday when he died that I knew he was a pitcher. I had no idea he won 300 games. I had no idea he never missed a start in like 900 starts. And I just remember him for his flowing white Jerry curl. So it's our favorite athlete's hairstyles.
Love it. I like this topic. This was fun to research. I had a couple like right off the top of my head, but it was fun to look at.
I'll go first just to honor old Sutton with the Jerry curl with young Pedro Jerry curl, because that thing that was the wettest hair in the history of sports, I think. Yeah. Pedro Rock.
That came through crystal clear. Soundboard holler. let's see. My number three is Anthony Mason. Remember Anthony Mason? He was like one of the first guys I can remember who used to like, do it again. He was one of the first guys I remember who used to like cut things into his hair. Like, cause he had it cut really short other than whatever design. So I remember he had like mace cut in his hair. It was like God's gift or some shit. What was it? It was like in God's hands or something like that. And then I remember the one I remember is he had dog pound shaved into the side of his head. Like literally the dog pound, like their logo shaved into the side of his
head. What, like Daz and Corrupt?
Yeah, Daz and Corrupt. The dog pound. Yeah.
The dog pound? All
right. By the way, like he played for the fucking Knicks. Like you can't be the dog pound. It was East Coast, West Coast, bro. What are you doing? Unless Anthony Mason was like trying to bring both coasts together, which only Anthony Mason could do. So
my number three, 1996, Dennis Rodman. Bleached it. And had just weird, like, leopard spots.
Oh, it's a leopard spot one. All right, yeah.
I was curious which one, too. I remember Colt Brennan did something like that, too, right?
Yes, but he had the Hawaiian Islands, I believe, on.
That was it. Yeah. Colt Brennan, man.
Colt Brennan.
He made some He made some efforts when it came to hair. Woof.
Let's see. All right, I'll go. My number two is Coco Crisp.
Yeah.
When he had the huge afro, because yep. There's nothing cooler / funnier looking than a huge afro with a baseball cap parting that thing right in the middle.
Yeah. They're talking about huge hats. Like, I don't even know how you do that.
There's an 8.5 size lid he needed, probably.
No doubt. Crisp was my number two, so I'm gonna switch to Troy Polamalu. The guy got commercial deals off his hair, man. Like, that's
fantastic. He's still got commercials.
Yeah.
He's still doing commercials. He's retired.
Fantastic work. And, he got to the point where the hair was, like, as important as his football. Like, you could tell, like, he took care of it and the way it was positioned in his helmet so it would still be look good as he was playing. It's good work, man. What you got, man?
My number three, just the entire career of David Beckham. Because sometimes it was long, and then it would be short, and then 2 months later, it was long again.
Yeah.
You think maybe Agassi-ish up in there?
No.
Andre Agassi!
No. Agassi would be whatever the opposite of that sound would be. Crickets is good. Oh, boy. All right, what's your one, Ski?
All right, my number one is, I want to say it was early 90s, Jaromir Jagr.
Ooh.
He had the longest, dirtiest mullet ever.
Yeah, real high quality. I mean, the longest, dirtiest mullet is Randy Johnson.
But I know. Look at the old pictures of Jagr. That thing,
I know what you're
saying. Like down to his back.
I know what you're saying. Super good. Let's see. Mine
is out there fucking hitting fucking one-timers. Just with the flow.
Wristers!
Twisted fucking wristers.
From the blue line.
Ah! Wicked slap shot! My number one is Cornrows Bronson Arroyo.
It's very white of you to pick Bronson Arroyo.
Thank you. I am very white. It was the Timberlake era. It was, Bronson Arroyo getting on that train. I totally understand where he's going, what he's doing. I'm hoping, somebody would have overheard us talking about white man cornrows and will walk into the room and, as we're recording, give King some cornrows to harken back to his past. He's definitely got the head of hair for it right now, so it's possible. You got Beatles right now, bro.
Oh, I know. Hasn't been touched since August, I think.
While you're on I got a couple not top threes.
Let's let King do his number one first.
All right.
My number one all-time athlete hair is... LeBron James.
LeBron James! LeBron James!
Are you current LeBron James hair? Is that what you're going with?
Yes, because now he's got, he's got the fake plugs in.
LeBron James! LeBron James! Who was the dude? He played for, the Bulls. He, spray painted his hair on.
Carlos Boozer.
Boozer, that was it. Yes. Thank
you. Yeah, he put
shoe polish. Oh, my God. Absolutely legendary. Ugh. I guess as we transition to your horrible hair list.
That works, yeah, because you were talking about the white guy cornrows.
Yeah.
I got the old Vladimir Radmanovich, Caribbean braids that he rocked. And the all-time worst was Drew Gooden. So he had that stupid, random patch of hair. It was almost on the back of his neck. It was that far down his head.
Yes. Yeah. I remember that. I also remember the soccer player. Was it one of the Ronaldos? or like one of the Ronaldinhos or whatever. I fucking can't remember his name, but he had like the totally bald head and then a patch right here.
It was just, a who?
Just in the front. He was a soccer player, and he
a
was
who?
Like, one of the really famous ones. It was like, it wasn't Ronaldo. Like, it was like, so you know how there's like three different soccer players with the same name over the last like 40 years. He's like the second one, played for Brazil. Yeah, that. So he had a completely bald head other than this patch just in the front part. Well, like basically where guys normally start losing their hair, that's the only place he had hair.
I'm pretty sure that was Ronaldo.
The random ass like patches on purpose. It's an interesting decision. It's like they were in the middle of cutting their hair and then, oh yeah, fuck, I gotta play basketball. Damn it. Okay, let's talk about Larry Scott. That's probably the best use of that you've had so far. Oh, like I don't think anybody is upset that Larry Scott's not going to be in the Pac-12 anymore.
Well, I think Larry Scott's upset.
I bet Larry Scott's okay with it. You know,
he was fleecing the Pac-12 out of so much money. He's definitely upset about that.
That's fair. But you know what? Like, no. Okay. Never mind. I was going to say like, he's to the point where money's probably not even a thing to him anymore. Cause he was working for like the tennis. He was working for tennis before the Pac-12. And he was already swimming in money before
he was working for women's tennis.
Yeah.
I believe the figure was, he made $45 million as the Pac-10-12 commissioner.
Over his career?
Over his career.
Okay.
Well, on top of
a fair amount of money.
Bringing the offices to San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Isn't that where they were in San Fran?
They were. Yeah.
So
yeah.
He got now all of a sudden he's got a cushy office in San Fran as well. That's probably, you know, millions for the year just for rent on that place.
Yeah. Again, I was going to say money's not a thing for him, but it's like, when has that ever been a thing for rich people? Where it's like, oh, yeah, I got enough money. I don't need
for your financial support.
We are asking you, the senator from Vermont, we are asking you for your financial support.
We should just wait for Bernie to end his run of the Senate, make him Pac-12 commissioner.
Oh, my God. Isn't he? He's going to be the budget committee guy, right? That's the
hot rumor.
Woo! Good luck. I'm just saying, good luck. Rest of Congress. Oh, good luck getting anything passed. Good luck. Bernie's gonna be like, I'm sorry. Are we not giving this money to the poor people? The 1%. I'm sorry. We are giving this to the 99%. You are not getting any money for any of your wars or any of your cause. I am hereby, the rest of Congress is not making any money for the rest of the fiscal cycle, and it is all going to unfortunate youth. That's it. Nobody gets any money for anything. What's that? You want to make several hundred tanks? No, we're not going to have any more tanks or any more airplanes. We're going to melt them down and sell the scrap, and we're going to give all of that money to the 99%.
Well, if you think about it, Larry Scott kind of had the same idea with the Pac-12. He didn't want them to get the money. He wanted every other conference to get all the money instead of the Pac-12.
Yeah, yeah. What, Oregon, USC, I very much appreciate your history, but you are not going to get any money anymore. All of my TV contracts, you know what? We're going to start our own network, but we're going to make it so only 1% of people can watch it.
For the Pac-12 network, again, you already have it. That's in place. It's in place.
Only 1% of the country is going to be able to watch Washington State and Oregon State on a Thursday night.
You've really been working on that, Uncle Bernie, haven't you?
Shit, man. I'm super proud of it, you guys.
I don't even think I have a Bernie. Do you ski?
No, I don't.
Thank you for saying.
I just try to go Larry David with it.
The senator from Vermont.
Just go.
Yeah.
Like a new reoccurring character on here to
seriously.
Oh God. Oh, I'll bring Bernie back every week, guys.
All I have of Bernie is the finger wave. But that's about it. I don't think I've ever tried the voice.
He's got like the Lewis Black finger wave, right? No. So anyway, Larry Scott's gone now. So who the hell knows? So I saw, and you know, mind you, it's Canzano posting this, but he was interviewing Nick Aliotti on his show, and Aliotti, who used to work with Rick Neuheisel at the Pac-12 Network, floated the idea of Rick Neuheisel being the new Pac-12 commissioner. And on, you know, face value, that's a fucking stupid idea. But like, I was kind of thinking about it, and you know, Neuheisel is great. Like, he's great. Like he's fun. He's entertaining. We had him on the radio show I produced for like a few times back in the day. He is fucking great. But like,
Cumulus.
Yeah. What?
Nothing.
Okay, I was going to say, like, I don't know. I literally didn't hear you, and I don't know if I support or deny or whatever anything you just said. but
go find that in editing if you want.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. If you hear a beep or a blank spot, as if I'm going to edit anything. Anyway,
let's fix it in post.
Yeah, exactly. I did an edit last week because the second half quality went to shit, and I was like, "Hey, sorry about that. What you're about to hear sucks." Anyway, so Neuheisel. I'm just like, what does the Pac-12 commissioner need to do? The Pac-12 commissioner needs to like get contracts, like get, you know, a TV deal, a new TV deal, like basically throw the fucking network out. And, you know, I like all the people who work for the network. You know, not a lot of them are there anymore because, you know, COVID and because the sports weren't happening and stuff like that. So, I would say the network needs to be thrown out and something needs to be started from scratch. And so he's going to need to figure something out there to get, you know, to get a deal with an existing network or to come up with something better where people can actually watch your fucking network. And so that's going to be a thing he has to do.
Of everyone though, don't you see Slick Rick being able to grease some palms to make some things happen? I mean, he's pulling up those Mickey D bags and dropping off.
Rick Neuheisel would be fucking phenomenal in a meeting room. Like, so good. You sit Rick Neuheisel there with like a lawyer on each side. You just let him talk and just have a fun conversation with the people.
I think Rick is a lawyer.
Is he?
I'm pretty sure Neuheisel is a lawyer.
So he'll know enough to not say something stupid in a meeting, and the lawyers will just be there to fucking fill in the blanks. Like it's not a bad idea. I'm sure they'll bring in somebody else, like somebody from the business world or whatever.
I was gonna say, are there any commissioners that are former players? Really, it always seems to be, you know, now, business
Oliver Luck.
Yeah, or like former school presidents or something. That generally seems to be how it works, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but again, like we're talking about a guy who used to, you know, be a head coach who has worked for several different conferences and kind of knows the ins and outs of the college football world like better than most. So I don't know. I don't think they would. Well, so who does the hiring, by the way? Is it the presidents?
I believe it is the presidents, yes. Okay.
So obviously the presidents would have to.
Because that's why, like Michael Schill is on. He's like kind of leading the search.
Okay, is he really interesting?
Yeah. I think it's Schill, and the presidents from UW and Wazoo. So I'm kind of surprised there's no one from LA on the search firm.
The Bay Area. They're just like, sorry, we just had all this.
Well, you can skip the Bay Area because they don't care about. They don't care. Hey, last year was fine.
Yeah.
Everyone had fun.
UCLA doesn't care, but USC, absolutely. Huh. Interesting.
By the way, Washington State?
I mean, in fairness, it is probably good to bring in, like, the lowest budget voice in the conference.
Yeah.
To be represented, you know, to put in their 2 cents.
Sure. And then you just ignore them.
Yes, oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah. You hear their grievance, and then you look to the Utah person on the side and be like, well, you're kind of in the middle.
Yeah.
What's your position?
Thanks, Bob. I really appreciate your opinion. Your name's not Bob? Oh, shit. I've been calling you Bob this whole time. Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, it's I think literally everybody has been saying this should happen for at least 4 years. Like, maybe more. Like, I'm not sure there was ever a point when anybody was happy with Larry Scott.
At first, people were.
I'm trying to think back. I remember they liked the hire just because of
he was the first one to put together a network. In fairness to him, he was first.
Yeah.
And the money was huge.
That's true.
But by 2012, it no longer was huge, and it no longer was cutting edge, and he was getting lapped. And
people kind of started to get pissed off that they couldn't actually watch the network.
Yes.
So if you're gonna tie your ship to having all of these, you know, you're gonna be able to watch every team, every game on one of all of the networks. It's your game is gonna be somewhere. If it's not gonna be on ESPN, it's not gonna be on Fox, it's not gonna be on CBS, TBS, whatever, it's gonna be on the Pac-12 network. But then it's like, okay, well, you know, 75% of the country can't watch the Pac-12 network. So
what the hell for the other conferences, does SEC and like Big Ten, do they have apps for their network?
SEC and the Big Ten, yeah, they have apps.
I'm going on a limb and saying the Pac-12 doesn't have an app where you could.
It does.
Get access to all the games.
It does, but it kind of barely functions. Like, that's the thing. Like, I would always try to watch these games on the website. Do they have an app? I feel like I've downloaded the app before and then I just delete it really quickly because it never worked. And so, like, I'd try to log in with my friend's Xfinity account or something like that. And even then, it wouldn't work very well. Like, the stream was always bad. So, I don't know.
Well, so whoever comes in, I mean, I think that's the first thing you got to tackle there is, like I said, the big thing was coverage. People, motherfuckers couldn't watch.
Sorry, I got some sort of weirdo animal in a tree. I'll be back in a minute.
Okay. Weirdo animal in the tree.
Well, let's hopefully see if King grabs a shovel.
Yeah, I'm very curious. I wish he would take the computer with him.
He should take it with him. I was gonna say
a live broadcast of him killing whatever the hell it is he's chasing right now.
Be our first YouTube upload.
Yeah, right. Our first. Oh,
there
he goes.
Oh, there he goes.
Oh, he's gone.
The play-by-play.
I know. I didn't see.
He left the back. Left the back door.
So here's the thing too, because I don't remember hearing anybody call for him. So this was just him just sitting there, and he's got the sliding glass door right behind him, and he must have just heard something. And by the way, living in that area that he lives, like, I would imagine there's like, this is kind of a regular occurrence. Like that kind
of I might have grabbed a gun instead of in case. Didn't know what could have been creeping up in the bushes there, but
exactly, because he's got like that big field behind him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, he's coming back.
No, I think he's
blood spatter all over him.
I think they're doing a tag team. Yeah. All right, ladies going out to help him now. Is this going to be like a live, recording of like a. Of like a death by a coyote or something like that. Headphones going. So we were wondering if like we were live recording like somebody dying because a gigantic raccoon attacked him or something like that.
And we were a little bit surprised. Like, Ski was surprised you didn't go out there with, like, a gun. Like, you know, that field you got back there, like, in that area. Just saying, man.
It's in a tree. I have this, like, 40-foot tree, and there's something at the top.
Oh, shit.
I can't tell what it is. I think it's a bird.
Again, you got to get the gas.
Giant bird?
Like, I think it's an owl. It is an owl? Oh, my God, there's an owl. I'll be right back.
Hell yeah.
Go Temple.
Yeah, go Temple. Bill Cosby. Let's go. Oh, wait. Whoops.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Cos could be lurking back there, too, if he was still out.
Oh, shit. So. Is it Bill Cosby? Oh, yeah, he has the headphones in. This is fantastic. Ooh. Oh, I hope, you know what, like, I don't want them to kill an owl because I like owls. Yeah. I hope they catch the owl, and, like, the next thing we see is them walking back in their sliding glass door, like, with an owl in one of their hands.
Wasn't that a...
pecking the shit out of them.
Isn't Big Boy have, like, multiple owls?
Yeah.
You ever seen some of his vids?
Big Boy has the most animals out of... He's like fucking Steve Irwin of the Rat Game. You know, like, every single video he posts on, like, his Instagram is of a different kind of animal. He's got like a billion dogs, because I know he used to do, like, a dog breeding thing. I don't know if it was a breeding thing, but he would, like, I know he would sell pit bulls and stuff like that. And, you know, he's every video he posts is him, like, with a different humongous bird or humongous dog or something. Lizards and shit. I could never get into lizards, man.
Like, what the fuck do you do with a lizard? What are you doing?
There was always that one kid who had a ferret. Like, what's the point of a ferret? I don't get it.
Ferrets you can at least, like, have out and about, and they might, like, lay on you, and you can, like, actually, like, pet it.
Ferrets were weird, man, because they're, like, they're in the... Ferrets are in, like, the gerbil category. But
it's a rodent.
Yeah, ferrets are like rodents, but you have them as pets and you let them run around. Did he say we're weirdos? Say it again. Say it again.
Hola.
Oh, hey.
Say it again, coward.
Yeah.
You guys are weirdos.
Yeah.
Go away.
Get the hell out of here.
That was the first time I've ever seen an owl in my backyard.
Get away from me, kid. You bother me.
It was a big old owl.
Is it gone now, or did you, like, are you capturing?
No, the dogs chased it off.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we were saying, like, my hope was that the next thing we saw was you two walking in with an owl on one of your arms.
Oh, like, I wish.
Pecking the shit out of you. Because that would definitely happen.
I've never seen an owl's head pivot before in real life. That shit's spooky.
That's awesome. Wow. We've had 2 weeks in a row. We've had, like, live cool shit happen while we were recording. I mean, cool shit, I guess.
The magic of live radio. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right?
As you listen to this tomorrow.
Yes.
If you listen to this at all. Hey, we know Jeter Fist Pump is back listening, so that's good.
Yeah, that guy is, he let us know.
Down since day one. All right, so let's pivot to Skinny Harden. Do you have anything to say about Skinny Harden?
He's going to be good.
Was he wearing a fat suit? Because we're talking.
I think he was just wearing, like, 10,000 layers.
Layers? Yeah. We were talking about a matter of, like, 2 weeks.
Not even. Like, he looks so much, like, skinnier now.
Looks like he lost 30 pounds in, like, a week.
Yeah.
Man, he finessed the fuck out of the Rockets. Like,
yes, he did.
Well done. I ain't even mad.
My whole take on that is that KD and Harden are better than KD, Harden, and Kyrie. You know where I stand on Kyrie.
Yes, we're aware.
Has he played this season? Yeah, he played last night against the Cavs and got 45 put on his head by Colin Sexton.
And they lost. And
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
He just needed a pause.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I needed a pause.
A pause from what?
a life.
Oh, he took like a mental health week?
That's what he said, and that's the beauty of saying that, is you can't actually go after him.
Yeah. Because
even if you think it's bullshit, but you can't. I need a pause. Playing with Kevin Durant in Brooklyn is so hard. I need a pause.
Here's the deal. Like, you can get away with that if you're LeBron. Like, if you play most of the games during a season, you know? Like, you can get – and you're, you know, fucking his age, the amount of years he's grinded, you can get away with saying, you know what, I'm taking a mental health day. I'm exhausted. I just need a couple days. You get away with that. You're Kyrie Irving, who hasn't played much.
Kyrie Irving took a day off for load management on the third game.
Yeah. Well, and he hasn't played much at all in the last few years, like, let alone this season. Like, we're talking about a guy who just hasn't played basketball. So what are you taking a break from? Nah, whatever.
Yeah, he wouldn't say, so.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Blazers had to cancel a game because of COVID. So is that COVID on the Blazers?
No, it's on the Grizz.
The Grizz.
Okay.
So it was last night and tomorrow's game.
Okay.
Another thing, the Blazers need to cancel the rest of the season.
Oh, the season's over.
Oh.
Yeah. So CJ's down, Nurk is down.
Yeah.
They are done.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, Nurk could be back, okay, in 6 weeks, whatever. The whole CJ thing, they're saying 4 weeks and he's going to get rechecked up on. He can't even really do cardio right now. So, season's over. It's done. They were fun. You know, for 12 games, they had a couple clunkers and shitters, but they were fine. And now...
Who was it? I read an article saying how, because Dame hasn't played great.
No, he really hasn't. CJ was carrying him.
CJ was. But the article was saying how Dame was trying to like integrate all the new players and stuff. That's why he wasn't shooting as much. You know, he wasn't like going Dame time on things.
He wasn't making as much.
And that lasted 12 games, and now he's going to have to drop 50 a night.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
Which is fun to watch. You know,
but it's just
they're gonna lose though. So
I do think most Blazer fans are very self-aware, not even just of this season or last season or next season. They just know how the NBA works. So we're not really sitting here looking at them even full strength as like championship contenders, right?
And real quick on that point, a lot of the lack of self-awareness has kind of been beat out of them by the rest of the fan base, which I appreciate. Because, like, a lot of places in our world, you don't see that.
True.
So, Blazer fans, if they weren't self-aware to begin with, they have come around. So,
but it was kind of, you know, like last year and then this year. Because this year on paper, the roster is pretty decent.
Yeah.
You could have been like, wow, they could be a 3 seed. They could be a 4 seed. Hey, win a round, maybe, you know. Facing one of the LA teams in the second round is hard. But now the prize is, hey, Dame could score 37 points a night, and they're going to play the Lakers in the first round. So, great. They'll win game three. Like, but
how many of Dame's years that he's played has happened like this, where there's been some injuries? You know, not some – he's gotten banged up a little bit, but he's actually been fairly healthy his career, but –
Well, so this year and last year were nuked within the first month.
Yeah.
The year before, Nurk got injured in March.
Yeah.
And they did make the Western Conference Finals in 18, right? Yeah. 19.
Yeah.
Yes, 19. And yeah, they got swept by the Warriors. But, you know, it was what it was. It was fun.
It just seems like Dame hasn't had a run with a full healthy team since he became dominant. You know, maybe the first couple years when CJ hadn't developed yet. And it's like,
Lamarcus?
I don't even think I think that we're going back to LaMarcus and Batum. And, but even then, they had that year where was it LaMarcus got hurt? and then Wes tore his Achilles at the end of the year.
That was really
played the Grizzlies. Yeah, and they played the Grizzlies in round one and lost 1-4.
Mike
but hey, they found CJ in the midst of that playoff. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah.
And this is just going to be another brick of the foundation that when Dame decides, listen, you got to trade me. It's just going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Got to accept it.
I'm rooting for him to get traded to a team that has a chance. And
absolutely. And it's not going to happen this year, and it's not going to happen next year.
No, I'm rooting for it later. I would like to see him as a Blazer for like at least a few more years.
I do. Yeah. But in, you know, a year and a half, 2 years from now, it's going to happen. And I don't think he'll go about it like Harden, where he just shows up super fat. That's sabotage. I think Dame could be kind of honest about it.
Yeah, I could see that.
And just be like, hey, I gave you 11
years. He's not going in a championship.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Dame never holds back on what he's saying.
No, and so, Dame is – the shitty thing, though, is when Dame gets traded, and he will, people are going to go, oh, yeah, remember Dame in 2018 when you said you'd never join the Warriors? You know what I mean? They'll hold that against him, but – down the road, good for Dame. I'm also guessing
he won't get traded until the absolute last second, and the Blazers will get almost nothing for him too.
Oh, absolutely. Well, see that part I'm not sure, because I think he might be upfront enough about it
to get
early enough where they might actually get some return on him.
Yeah, they'll never get equal return. You never do with the star. But
let's say the Blazers were the Rockets, and Dame was disgruntled this year. Would you have been fine dealing him for what the Rockets got in return for Harden?
Man, it's a lot of really late number one picks they got back.
Right. And we have been on here saying outside about 13 or 14, it's a fucking crapshoot.
Way earlier than that. Like outside of 6 or 7, it's a crapshoot.
Yeah, it was sort of a weird trade that the Nets, their return, it's just a lot of picks.
Unless they're banking on
like Kyrie in a year flaking off and just being a weirdo. And I don't know. I don't get the return is very light.
Yeah.
Well, it always helps the deal feel a little easier when LeVert's got like a heart problem now.
I think it's like a cyst on his kidney or something.
Something like that. Yeah. I was like, oh, well, good thing you traded him, because he was the big piece in that.
You think the Warriors ever trade Steph? I happen to be watching the Warriors right now, which is why.
A
lot of parallels now to Dame and Steph.
No,
see, I think the only way that happens, though, right?
He's got the rings for it.
The only way that happens is if he wants to spend a year back, quote unquote, home. Charlotte, because his dad calls Hornets games, and that's where he wants to retire.
Maybe he wants to play a season with his brother somewhere, you know, something
right.
Like that.
Dame's
going to be chasing the ring. He's got the rings. He doesn't have to go anywhere.
Doesn't have to do anything. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just like, he, you know, and Clay's hurt. So, you know, there is that too. But he's.
I mean, Wiseman looks real good so far.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you have Wiseman. So. But they're not good. Like they're not anywhere close to good. So
if Clay's back, they got to deal Draymond here soon. I mean, Draymond, you like that guy in your team, but he's just not very good.
Yeah. No, his window has, you know, pretty much closed.
He was on the perfect team for his role, his abilities in basketball.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Have we talked about old Pritchard yet since we started on here?
I think we mentioned – did I mention the game winner he had a couple weeks ago? That's pretty much –
I think he's brought that up, yeah. But
yeah. He's having a good season so far.
But is he even going to play now that Kemba's back?
I think he's going to have to find some minutes for him.
Kemba stinks.
It seems like Celtics fan would riot because they're anointing him, you know, the great white hype. Great, for him now.
Yeah.
Well, only in Boston would Pritchard be like put on a pedestal 10 games in.
Talk about the perfect market for him to play.
Yeah.
I do love how they're calling him like 8 Mile and Peter Rabbit.
You know, we talked about him when he got drafted, because I remember having the take that it was like, you know, he could actually be good, just because his track record is, you know, it took him 4 years in high school, but that senior year he was fucking incredible. It took him 4 years in college, but that senior year he was fucking incredible. And 4 years in the NBA, he could be really good. Who knows? And, you know, he started off being pretty fucking good for them. So, you know, they've had guys out, so that gets him playing time, which helps. But, you know, he's making, like, all of his three-pointers. So
if he doesn't get hurt to, like, slow himself down, yeah. I mean, he's got 10-plus years in the league as a backup for sure.
He can shoot, yeah, and he can dribble.
He's got Ridenour career all over him. Yeah.
I don't see him ever starting, though, but he is a great – I mean, he's middle back end career Ridenour.
Yep. Yep.
Gonna make a lot of money.
Yeah, Boucher, though. I think Boucher, he's killing it.
He is. Yeah. Now that he's healthy and in a rhythm, like he is.
Because they're actually finally fucking playing him.
Yep.
I mean, God, his career, you know, he'll get a game 25 minutes and score 25 points in it. Then 4 straight games, he's getting 3 minutes or not playing. It's fucking ridiculous.
Yep.
It is odd, though, to, like, finally watch, like, a sports center during the NBA season. And just, like, every third game, like, oh, hey, there's a duck.
A duck, yeah.
Was it?
That's weird.
Is there four of them actually playing right now? Is Bell even on a team?
No, I think Bell's –
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about him.
Bowl doesn't really play much still, but –
Because Bell,
but when he does, everyone makes a big deal about
it. When he started like a week ago?
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah.
Bell Brooks. Started? Yep.
Bowl started.
Oh, Bowl. Yeah. People really like to watch him. He's like a circus act or something.
But
like
it's that. Weird because he's not actually that fun to watch.
No, he's plotting.
He's weird looking. I get the attraction, but like, yeah. Really, he's not that fun to watch.
And the nostalgia for his dad, too.
Absolutely.
That's the thing. Bechet's fun. Bechet's swatting dudes. Bechet's and running
good. Yeah.
Bombing threes. Yeah.
That's his whole game, man. He's got everything. That's why he was so fucking good at Oregon. That's why Oregon wins the fucking natty if he doesn't get hurt. All right. We have 6 minutes left. Would you like to talk about why Eric Bieniemy should be a head coach and why the NFL is racist for 6 minutes, King?
I mean, the white establishment. I mean, let's just get over that. I mean, you even look at the press.
1% of NFL coaches.
I mean, you look at the background of the shield, they call it. And what is that color? I mean, it's white.
It's white. So it's funny because here I am. I'm about to give the Jets credit because the Jets hired a Muslim head coach. So the first ever Muslim head coach in you know, NFL history, obviously, Robert Saleh last week. I didn't even mention that because, like, frankly, I didn't know it. Like, I should have known it. He was my
defense. I had no idea.
He was my defensive coordinator for a while. But then I read the story and I'm like, oh, yeah, like Saleh. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. So I guess so. Cool. Good for them. But here we have, you know, the fucking Lions. Like, did you see the press conference today with Dan Campbell? Like,
yes. Motor City, baby. That dude is.
Wow. That's embarrassing.
You're going to knock us down and we're going to eat off your kneecap and we'll stand up for a second time. And it'll take 3 times to knock us down. And when you do, we'll take another chunk out of your kneecap. Oh my God. Did you see what
the sign on his office says?
No, what?
It says Dan Campbell / the dude.
I thought I heard something that he drinks a gallon of coffee a day.
I thought you were going to say a gallon of whole milk. So a gallon of coffee is better than that.
No, he bathes in
a gallon of sour cream is what that guy looks like he eats.
He bathes in whole milk.
A gallon of coffee and unfiltered marbs. That kind of looks like his diet.
But see, I when I saw Dan Campbell's press conference today.
Oh, God.
Not that I wanted to hear it anyway. But I never want to hear that Eric Bieniemy is a bad interview again, because Dan Campbell cannot be a good interview.
Yeah, fuck out of here with that.
And even Robert Saleh, his introductory press conference today, we're all gas, no brakes. I've heard that a million times, dude.
Robert Saleh
is actually successful.
Robert Saleh is like a boring dude and not a good interviewer.
Which might be good.
Yep.
Yes, I will say that.
Which might be good for football, because the football players who play for him love him and believe in everything he says. It's all fucking gospel. But like, you get that. There's a reason he didn't do a lot of interviews while he was DC of the 49ers. Like, it's because him putting together and it's not about like intelligence or anything like that. Yeah. It's just a matter of not being savvy in front of a camera as much as his head coach is when he was with the 49ers. And so you'd like, you know what? I'll take this one. Like, you're good. Like, yeah, our defense is great. Uh-huh. But what more do you need to know?
Yeah.
Did you see, by the way, the guy the Niners promoted to offensive coordinator?
I did not.
So they promoted D'Amico Ryans to defensive coordinator, which I'm pretty
– wow.
Yeah, he was
– that's a name I remember.
Yeah. So their offensive coordinator, check out a picture of him. He looks 28. Like, where's the hat like this, like off to the side?
CeCe style.
Glasses with the hat, has like the beard, super skinny dude, wears baggy clothes. Like, it's unbelievable how not like a football coach he looks. But apparently he like went to Yale, and everybody, he's like the run game coordinator before this year, and so he's like some sort of genius when it comes to football.
Wait, you split the quadratic equation on the you run it off tackle to the right third time.
Let's run the fly sweep to Debo. Wow. Hey.
So, you know, I'm not like, you know, some of these coaching hires, it's like, you know, whatever, Bailey to the Chargers. Like, okay, sure. Like, the Rams defense was really good. Okay. Like, I guess I'm not mad at that. I think, you know, the prevailing wisdom was like, hey, you bring in an offensive guy to work with your rookie of the year quarterback, but whatever. Clearly their defense needed work, so they brought in a guy who's going to, you know, help their defense be better. But it's like these other hires, it's like, why are you in such a hurry? Like, I know you're waiting for Bieniemy's season to end, which could be a few weeks, but it's like, just chill. Like, there's a bunch of really good assistants you could hire out there. Like, just wait. Like, you have this guy who's proven, like, just wait.
Now, we didn't even bring up King's quarterback, if he's even going to fucking play this week. Well,
the NFL is not keeping Mahomes out for brain bleeding. Let's be real. Right. They're playing him. He could be... He could lean over and lasagna noodles are falling out of his ear and nose. They're still playing him over Chad Henne in the AFC Championship. Yeah, I mean,
football, right?
Let's be real. Yeah. It's like when Alvin Kamara had COVID really bad, and then the day of the game, like, what weird.
He doesn't have it anymore. Three negative tests. Back to back to back, but you know, whatever.